Hi, everyone. We get closer and closer to 300 lifetime episodes of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am Todd Wright. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. A quick word about my sponsors who allow this podcast to be absolutely free for all of you to enjoy. Brandon Legal Group will be participating in the upcoming 2024 Todd Wright Tour Championship. They are a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. They remind you adult males who are residents in the state of Florida that if you are still paying permanent alimony, the law changed in the state of Florida effective July 1st, 2023. Permanent alimony is no longer the law. Reach out to Brandon Legal Group to get help, and your financial obligation going forward could be reduced or eliminated altogether. For a free consultation, visit brandonlegalgroup.com or call 813-902-3576. I thank Jeremy and Sean for all they do for my golf tournaments in terms of providing prizes at every Todd Wright Tour golf event. So does Pin Chasers, still coming off helping the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay via 1025 The Bone, Drew Garabo, John Senning, Mike Olivero, Corey Cardinal et al. Raise over $25,000 in 3 hours of bowling and fun at Pin Chasers Midtown. There is a fourth Pin Chasers now in Brandon. I've been telling you about three locations to bowl at for a while with Pin Chasers. There's now a fourth. Speaking of Brandon Legal Group, they recently went to the new Brandon location. You can check it out as well. Visit pinchasers.net for information, lane reservations, party reservations, and they are providing some party certificates that I will give out at the upcoming 2024 Todd Wright Tour Championship. Thank you, Anthony Peroni. My email for podcast purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. If you have a question specific for my golf tournaments, or, and this is always welcome and embraced, if you run a local business, say a restaurant, a bar, or you offer something tangible and you would like my golfers to be exposed more to your business, we can cut a deal. I don't want your money. I want something that's prize-worthy like Pin Chasers. They give me prizes to bring my golfers into Pin Chasers. Those type things are what I've been giving away at my golf tournaments, and we're going on event number 46, coming up on 9 years. So if you are a local business owner or manager and you want to work with me, email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. I'd love to have a quick chat with you, email, phone, in person, whatever works for you and on your time. So that's toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. As of 1 p.m. today, which is the Monday after St. Patrick's Day, March 18th, and I'm sure by the time this posts, there will be more movement. But can you believe that half the National Football League teams have a new starting and or backup quarterback already? That's all happened, and we're over a month away from the draft, where we could get as many as four or five, I don't think there'll be six, quarterbacks drafted the first night of the National Football League draft, and then there'll be more on day two and certainly into day three. But already, if you think it's been a lot, you're right. And I was laying out by the pool, fully closed, so not to scare anybody, just enjoying the nice weather over the weekend at one point, and I started counting up how many teams have a new starter or backup or both. And as of 1 p.m. March 18th, it's 16 teams. Let's run them down, and I'll offer a quick opinion. I'm only talking about the teams that have a new starter or backup. So if your team is not on this list, don't say, well, you left them out. It's because, as far as I know, they don't have anybody new. The Jets have Tyrod Taylor. So If there's a problem with Aaron Rodgers this year, they have a new option rather than seemingly no option, as was the case last year. Tyrod is a good quarterback. He's experienced. He makes plays. He doesn't seem to be starting quarterback worthy for an extended period of time. Teams figure him out. He gets injured. But as a live body with experience who could step in, and the Jets certainly hope it won't be for an extended period of time for Aaron Rodgers this year, they now have Tyrod Taylor to go to. The Patriots have Jacoby Brissett. I've always thought highly of Jacoby. He throws a catchable ball. He seems to make smart decisions throwing the ball. I think his team leadership is underrated. He played really well a couple seasons ago for the Cleveland Browns. The Patriots organization, obviously, and there have been changes there, but they're familiar with Jacoby because what they originally drafted him out of NC State before they shipped him away. And he played a little bit for them. But Brissett, who probably should have been used more in an awful season for Washington last year, goes to New England. There's an expectation that New England is going to draft one of those top three quarterbacks, but I'm sure some of you have heard the same thing I did, that they may not. They may go Harrison instead at wide receiver or trade down, and perhaps Brissett could be in the mix to start this coming season. The Cleveland Browns have two more guys to back up Deshaun Watson. The first was Jameis, finally getting out of New Orleans, where it was bizarre. No matter your opinions on Winston, it was just bizarre to me how little he played in games. And sure, they threw $150 million at Carr, and they used Taysom Hill when healthy to do some very unique things. But even when Andy Dalton was there, it just seemed like the Saints didn't want to play Jameis Winston. So why is he there? What benefit was it for Jameis to be with the Saints for the last, what was it, four seasons, right? Ironically, the Bucs have the longest active streak of going to the postseason in the NFC. It's 4 years, and it's all the 4 years since they didn't renew Jameis Winston's deal, who got, what, $1 million that first year out, $1 million. So Jameis is in Cleveland, but so is Tyler Huntley, who I think has actually played more the last couple years than Jameis has. Tyler Huntley started a playoff game 2 years ago at Cincinnati and nearly won it for the Ravens against the Bengals. Huntley, to me, is what you want in a backup quarterback. I don't know him intimately, but based on what I've seen him perform, there's enough there to keep a good team moving forward or competing to win. I don't believe when Huntley enters a game, you're screwed. And this past year, we saw a number of guys. What do we have? Like 60? We had 60 plus different quarterbacks either start or play in NFL games. And we all know there were certain ones that when they went in, you felt very strongly the team was screwed, that they're not winning this game with this guy. And we all have our list of who those guys are. Huntley's not that guy. I also wonder if Cleveland brought in Huntley to help them manage games against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, because there's no change with Jackson going forward at quarterback. Monken is OC, so that could be valuable in a competitive division. The Steelers, obviously, in a week plus, changed everything. It was very un-Steeler-like. I played golf with a Steeler fan. I texted another Steeler fan. We all know Steeler fans. This was very un-Steeler-like. In the end, you wonder if Mike Tomlin basically told Steeler ownership, I need to have more say in shopping for the groceries. I can win you enough games, but you need to get me better options at quarterback. So the Steelers go from saying we're good with Pickett and Rudolph going forward to both of them gone and bringing in Russell Wilson on what I think makes so much sense. And then trading only a sixth, and it stays a sixth unless Justin Fields plays 51% of the offensive snaps in 2024. Russell Wilson stays healthy. They could use Fields maybe in some wildcat red zone situations, but 51%. And Mike Florio, I believe, even wrote about this recently. It's not like Wilson is 1 year and that's it. Wilson's extension in Denver was 5 years. They're just seeing if this is going to work. If it works, why would Russell leave? Why would the Steelers want to get away from him? Because the Broncos will continue to pay the bulk of that contract going forward. There's nothing really the Broncos can do about it. And then the Steelers could trade Justin Fields before his rookie deal is up. Jaguars bring in Mac Jones. Surprisingly similar numbers in certain stats to Trevor Lawrence, who regressed in 2023. Both in the same draft class. Both quarterbacks from, at their time, at those programs, the top two programs in college football, Alabama, Clemson. I get it, and it was cheap. And it sort of falls in line with a lot of these other deals we're going to talk about, because the draft class, the QB draft class of 2021 and 2022 are awful. Really, other than Brock Purdy, amazingly, last pick of the draft, not last quarterback picked of a draft, last pick of a draft, pretty much everyone else in 2021, which was Lawrence's year, 2022. Not realized expectations, and most have moved on to other teams. I think Mac's honesty and his unhappiness got the better of him since it went against the Patriot way. The Patriot way obviously hasn't been working recently. So I understand why. Granted, Kenny Pickett bitched and it got him out of Pittsburgh. Maybe Mac wanted out of New England and he got out and he's in Jacksonville. And if Lawrence doesn't get his shit together, Mac Jones is going to play, because they can go pick up fifth-year options on both guys next year. And you know what? I mean, as we see, like, Denver getting away from this huge deal to Russell Wilson, the Cowboys seemingly letting Dak play it out. I mean, you all know I'm a Cowboy fan, and here's my opinion of Dak. I don't blame Dallas for what they're doing. They're saying, Dak, we're paying you a lot of money. Get us to the NFC Championship game or beyond, or else. Or we're going to find somebody else who can. Yeah, we saw Jared Goff's deal basically traded. That did work out for Detroit. But I think teams are going to be a little scared now to just automatically say, well, he's our guy. We can't get anybody else. We got to pay him market value. We got to give him 5 years, $250 million. What else are we going to do? I don't know that teams are going to do that as much going forward based on what happened with Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson hasn't won games. He hasn't played a lot of games for Cleveland. We're 1 year into the Lamar Jackson deal, and he took his annual face plant in the AFC title game. He's won two play. I mean, Baker Mayfield's won as many playoff games as Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson. And we talked about Baker's deal in the previous podcast. Let me move on a little bit here, keep this thing going. So the Jags bring in Mac Jones. The Colts bring in Joe Flacco. I wondered if Joe was going to sign any deal now, because he seemed, I don't know, it seemed like he was happy being away from football with family and kids. I don't know his personal life. It was a great deal. End of year, a Cleveland team that had enough with an offensive-minded head coach, just come on in and see what you can do, and it worked. So maybe Flacco got the itch. I think he's going to play a lot in Indy, because Anthony Richardson, to me, until proven otherwise, just looks like he's going to continue to get hurt because he tries so damn hard. And he's going to put his body at risk. So, Flacco to the Colts. Titans bring in Mason Rudolph from Pittsburgh to seemingly compete with Levis. I still think this is a landing spot for Browning from Cincinnati. When Browning can choose his own team to follow Brian Callahan here, but it looks like it's going to wait a year or until the trade deadline. Browning, obviously a very capable backup behind Joe Burrow right now. Raiders bring in Gardner Minshew. There's this thought out there that the Raiders are kind of tanking the upcoming season. That promoting Pierce was okay, it's the right thing to do, but we don't know that that's going to get us where we want to be. That's the commitment to excellence. Don't love what they did at the offensive coordinator position. Will Davante Adams stay there or potentially be that contract be sent elsewhere? Josh Jacobs is gone. Granted, they have one of the best defensive linemen in football, Max Crosby. I think we'll know more off what they do or not do in the draft, but Minshew to me is one of the best five backup quarterbacks in the National Football League, but I don't know that you go into camp saying that's our guy and you have Super Bowl aspirations. Broncos aren't on this list yet, unless somebody else knows something I don't. Now, they've got their draft picks now. They're not continuing to send their top picks to Seattle. That's over. So we'll see what they get. It seems as though the Broncos, it looks like they're committed to getting their next quarterback in the draft. Chargers, it's Herbert with Harbaugh, and it's going to be fun. As far as I know, Easton Stick does not have a contract. I don't know that Jim Harbaugh wants him back, even though he started a bunch of games last year. Eagles are on this list because they acquire Kenny Pickett. They bring him in as their new backup quarterback. And I have Eagle fans saying, here's hoping he never plays a meaningful snap. I will tell you what Pickett will do. He'll basically play the entire preseason. That's what Pickett's going to do. They're going to want to see what Pickett does on the field, how he behaves off the field, and see if there's something there. Clearly, Roseman and many in the Eagles front office clearly scouted this guy a few years ago and might want to just get him in the building to see if the excuses on why he didn't play well in Pittsburgh are valid, kind of like Mac Jones. The Jaguars want to bring him in. Okay, did New England even give this guy a chance to be successful, right? So one person's trash is another person's treasure. That's what's going on with a lot of these backup quarterbacks. The Giants bring in Drew Lock. Lock had a moment or two, but that's what Drew Lock does. He has moments. But according to the Seahawks general manager, Lock left because someone with the Giants may have said, you can compete for the starting job. Brian Daboll may be the first coach fired this year and may just be better for the rest of his life being an OC with the right quarterback and getting away from all the extra stuff with being a head coach, not talking to the press very much. That might be the best thing for Daboll. But Drew Lock basically replaces, right, Taylor with the Giants, even though Tommy Cutlets is still there. Washington is now the home to Mariota, who sure didn't look like much the last couple years. So still this thought, Washington's going to get their new quarterback in the draft. I don't think anyone would be excited about Marcus Mariota starting meaningful games. Vikings bring in Sam Darnold, refuse to refer to him as a bridge quarterback. I am of the theory that Kevin O'Connell wanted Kirk Cousins back. The general manager did not. That the Vikings either made no offer to Kirk Cousins or the offer was made purposely so Cousins wouldn't take it. So the Vikings bring in Darnold, who Kyle Shanahan spoke very highly of, about why Darnold was in San Francisco, what he could potentially do. He stuck with Brock Purdy. It got him to a Super Bowl. And Darnold is now in Minnesota. Minnesota recently acquired the Texans' number one pick. The thought is, right, a thought, the Vikings could trade both of those picks to move up to get one of the top four quarterbacks, or they trade one of those picks with Justin Jefferson to get one of those four quarterbacks. Bears didn't bring anybody in, right, but they seem to be the Fields trade gets him out to clear the path, presumably for Caleb Williams, although that just feels like it could get really weird around the draft. Some rumbles about Harrison the same way, that if the wrong team wants to draft one of those guys, the player and the agent can cause problems. Let's see. Falcons bring in Kirk Cousins, being investigated for tampering and doing it. But that's a big move for the Falcons. And, I mean, the NFC South until further notice is Falcons and Buccaneers. I don't think the Saints are in this because I see who the Saints have at quarterback and at head coach and doesn't do anything for me. Didn't do anything for me last year or the year before either. Rams bring in Jimmy G. Now, I guess the thought here is, well, he's not going to play. Behind Stafford, you just worry, I think, every game. And granted, the Rams were one of the more underrated success stories of last year, right? For all the credit the Bucs get for competing in that divisional game at Detroit, the Rams did the same thing the week before in the wild card round. Stafford stays healthy. Now Aaron Donald did retire, which we had been kind of following that last year. Cooper Kupp looks healthy going into next year. They got Puka Nacua, obviously. The young running back was huge this year for the Rams. You have McVay. You're kind of going year to year with Stafford. He's been around longer than you think. But also, is this McVay also picking Jimmy G's brain because the Rams always seem to have the number of the Niners? And Jimmy G wasn't that far removed from being there. Seahawks bringing Sam Howell. There's that someone else's trash. Could be another person's treasure. Didn't give up much for him. And the Cardinals bringing Desmond Ridder, who falls into that category as well. That's where we're at. So believe it or not, half the NFL as of Monday morning, in a very short amount of time, half the teams in the NFL have new starting quarterbacks and or new backup quarterbacks. We're not done with free agency, and we're over a month away from the draft. What do you think of some of these moves? Wright.Todd at yahoo.com, Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers for their support of my golf tournaments and helping keep my podcast for free so all of you can listen. We'll talk to you soon.